Welcome back to our intelligence briefing, ladies and gentlemen. This is ARC Midnight. I am John B. Wells, and returning to the program is U.S. Army Colonel Lawrence Sullen, Ph.D. Published author, America's Humiliating Defeat in Afghanistan Centered Around Misunderstanding the True Enemy, Pakistan, and by extension, China. And a nine-minute video starting at 16:15, Colonel Sullen describes COVID-19 as part of China's biowarfare program. We've spoken together many times now on the program. I'm sure that regular listeners know exactly who Colonel Sullen is. His Ph.D. is in human physiology, so suffice it to say he knows what he's talking about, and we welcome him back. Good evening, sir. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you, John. It's always an honor to be on your program.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. It really, really is. I'm looking at some of the things that you wanted to discuss tonight, and China still features, although they haven't... there's been so much other stuff, mostly economically based alarmism, that China the last week or so hasn't featured that prominently in the news headlines. But what's all this about illegal molecular research? I'm not going to issue a spoiler alert, nor am I going to read copiously from the notes here. But what's this about multiple cases of illegal molecular research and where it's being conducted?
Yes, John. I'd like to talk about two data dumps that occurred recently, and the first that you mentioned. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion about U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. Many have suggested that the United States establish those biolabs in the Ukraine to conduct experiments on biowarfare agents that could not be conducted in the United States, much like Anthony Fauci's funding of coronavirus research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, in my opinion, contributed to the laboratory creation of the COVID-19 virus. Yet, little attention has been paid about how China has exploited lax U.S. immigration policy to insert Chinese Communist Party and People's Liberation Army scientists into U.S. laboratories where they use U.S. taxpayer dollars to conduct dangerous experiments genetically manipulating pathogenic viruses, and that those experiments can be linked back to China's biological warfare program. Now, the data dump I'm referring to is from Judicial Watch, which has obtained over 2,000 pages of records from the National Institutes of Health, revealing more than two dozen cases where research involving recombinant or synthetic nucleic acid molecules was conducted in the United States without proper approval in violation of NIH guidelines. Now, if you look at the individuals, and I've looked at all the individuals involved in these cases, one group stands out, and this is a group of Chinese scientists who were trained in China, who migrated to the United States, who are now either citizens or permanent residents benefiting from U.S. taxpayer-funded funding from NIH while still maintaining close cooperation with scientists in the People's Republic of China, including those in the Chinese military associated with China's biowarfare program. Now, there are many cases of these Chinese scientists trained in China who come to the United States, but three of these scientists really stuck out as far as my own research in China's biowarfare program. Now, the first of these is Dr. Fang Li, who's at the University of Minnesota. Now, if you believe, like I do, that COVID-19 was created in a laboratory, Dr. Fang Li's research is critical to that. He was a very close cooperator with the Batwoman at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Zheng Li Shi. He has also been working with individuals who are scientists, Chinese scientists who were working with the People's Liberation Army and connected to their biowarfare program. Now, this Dr. Fang Li's work is directly related to how the COVID-19 virus gets, into human cells and preferentially into human cells and make them more infective and more pathogenic. So he was a really key person. Now, the second individual, again, these are individuals who have been cited by NIH for violating NIH rules in terms of things like gain of function or other genetic manipulations that are prohibited. This is a professor, Shan Lu Liu, who is a professor at the Ohio State University. He has also been connected with research with individuals, People's Liberation Army scientists who are connected to the China's biowarfare program. But he's also been involved in what I consider assisting Chinese propaganda in the United States in early February of 2020, before anyone knew the origin of COVID-19. He wrote an article with the next individual I'll introduce, entitled "No Credible Evidence Supporting Claims of a Laboratory Engineering of SARS-CoV-2, which is a COVID-19 virus." So he was already participating in through scientific journals is supporting, you know, China's narrative about the natural origin of COVID-19. We also have actual text messages that he was texting in Chinese in a private WeChat chat group directly with the Batwoman at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, she was asking him how he can participate in promoting Chinese propaganda in the United States. We actually have the actual text messages of that. Now, the third individual is Yi Shang Su, who was also a co-author on that article, saying that there was no credible evidence supporting the laboratory engineering of SARS-CoV-2. He is also connected with scientists in China's military, and these people who are also presumed to be involved in China's biowarfare program. So we can see these cases of violations. And we wouldn't have known this except Judicial Watch did a FOIA request and got it released, similar to what was discussed earlier about the FDA Pfizer documents. We wouldn't have known that these individuals had made these violations and that these individuals were Chinese-trained scientists who were working in the United States and still cooperating and bearing allegiance to the People's Republic of China.
Well, when you look at this statistic, talking about HIV cases up 590%, according to DMED, I mean, the moment that I saw that there were HIV insertions into this virus, I mean, I can't believe anybody's even... Is anybody out there, Colonel, still talking about... Oh, I don't really think it was developed in a lab. I think it was naturally occurring. Is anybody actually clinging to that old narrative?
Yes. In fact, our own government is still is clinging...
Of course. The question is, what's to be done about this? I can think of a lot of people who need to be arrested, a lot of people who need to be deported, a lot of people who need to be imprisoned following a speedy trial, which they're guaranteed under the Constitution. But I just I can't imagine this will actually happen. What is to be done about this? We know what the truth of the matter is. It's not just a bunch of conspiracy theorists just trying to come up with the next sensational thing to talk about. This is a fact. People are dropping dead all over the world. I saw some horrific statistics on what happened in England. And we just keep going down this road like, yeah, sure, you can trust your government. What? Who can trust their government now, particularly this one we've got in D.C. at the moment? So the question is what to do about this. Any ideas? I hope so. Are you there? Well, his line either dropped. I don't think he'd hang up. I don't think he would. But let's see what's going on here. Okay, we're trying to reconnect. Well, I'm so surprised. Here's the thing. All of this stuff that was done around the world, because I'm going to go back. Look, I want to go when the next time that I go to that YouTube page with the discussion that, not a discussion, the speech that Dr. John Coleman gave, I want to see 20 to 50,000 more views of this. You need to see this. It will explain so much to you about what is going on now. Talk about connecting the dots. Colonel, we lost you for a second, but we got you now, I think.
Yes, indeed. I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me.
No, I couldn't. Oh, well. It's normal around here for that. I mean, it's a big-time station, so it's not a question of the text. You know, like, so low-tech it doesn't even work anymore. It's good stuff. It's just a little interference. Anyway, the question is what to do about this. Mainstream media is controlled. The politicians are obviously puppets. They're taking their marching orders from somebody else. So what's to be done? Do we just ride it out, or is there some action that maybe can be taken by enough citizens, maybe just 3%, just like it was in the American Revolution?
Well, I think it's already happening, John. I mentioned this case where Judicial Watch had released this NIH documentation about the violations of their protocols by science, which we didn't know about until it was just released. Now we have also the release of apparently 55,000 internal Pfizer documents, which the FDA asked the court to keep secret for 75 years. And now that's been released, and it's been published actually on all these documents. And I've looked through some of the documents, Pfizer documents. It's on the Daily Clout. And 3,000 highly credentialed doctors, nurses, biostatisticians, medical fraud investigators, lab tech clinicians, and other research scientists are actually looking at these Pfizer documents right now and publishing their findings on a website. So you can actually not only read the original documents themselves, the Pfizer documents, but you can read the comments being made by these specialists. So this is clearly a way of exposing not only the information to the public, but also the people who are hiding the information. The information so far, it's not complete. There's a myriad of shocking lies that have been told about the COVID-19 vaccines. Let's start with the most fundamental, is that Pfizer and the FDA knew in December 2020, December 2020, that the mRNA vaccines didn't work, that they, waned in efficacy, and really were a vaccine of failure. So, this we didn't know, and because of work of individual people, and getting courts to or FOIA requests to release this information, we're beginning to learn about the dangers of these vaccines, in particular the adverse effects. Now, I'll give you a few examples. One of the information that came out had to do with pregnancy. Now, we found out now that they really did no studies on human pregnancy. What they did was one experiment with rats over 42 days. And these were experiments conducted by scientists who were shareholders or employees of the company. And based on these few experiments on rats, they say it was safe and effective for pregnant women. Then we find out, later from the release of these documents, even though pregnant women weren't included in the clinical studies from which they said it was safe and effective, nevertheless, 270 women got pregnant during the study, and more than 230 of them, the information about them has disappeared. But of the 36 pregnant women whose outcome were followed, 28 lost their babies. Now, there was other information about, the condition of the babies that were being nursed by these women. The baby showed agitation, gastrointestinal distress, failure to thrive or grow, and were inconsolable. And even lactating vaccinated women in the Pfizer documents reported blue-green breast milk, and the nursing baby who died had an inflamed liver. So the point of all this is, we really don't know what we don't know, and the government and big pharma complex, doesn't want us to know.
Are you picking up any chatter, Colonel Dr. Sellin, regarding psychological problems that could be directly attributable to having received the vaccine? Any instabilities mentally, any of that stuff coming out?
The short answer is yes, John. As I said, I haven't looked through, obviously looking through all the information of these 55,000 documents, Pfizer documents have been released, but I looked through a few of them. And one of the prominent adverse effects are neurological, and there are a lot of them. So, as I said, we still don't, you know fully the consequences of the, you know, the COVID-19 vaccine. But let me touch on something that Dr. McCullough said. He said the vaccinated are the ones dying of the COVID-19 virus. And I'll try to explain that, at least give a partial hypothesis of that. If we go back and look at how the virus works, the entry into human cells is the first step of the COVID-19 viral infection. And that process is initiated by the viral spike protein, which has two subcomponents, S1 and S2. Now, the S1 subcomponent is responsible for binding of the virus to a human angiotensin-converting enzyme 2 receptor. That's the ACE2 receptor. So that's important. Keep that in mind. Now, the second subunit actually facilitates the fusion of the membrane, so the virus genetic material gets into the cell. But so the COVID 19, the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines are based on genetic material being injected into your muscle cells, and this genetic material produces these spike proteins. So the spike proteins, once it's being produced in your body, will initiate an immune response, and antibodies will be produced against the spike protein. So that's the theory. So if you have antibodies against the spike protein, the virus can't bind to the cells and get in. The problem occurs is because when the body starts producing these spike proteins, even if it's localized in the muscle cells, the spike protein spreads throughout the body. And this is the thing that people are concerned about, and which seems to be causing damage. And let me go back in history a bit, and this gets to the fact that we don't know what we don't know. In 2005, and this is after the first SARS pandemic, first SARS virus, 2002 to 2004, there was an experiment done which showed that this first SARS virus bound to the ACE2 receptor, like COVID-19 virus, and it downregulated or reduced ACE2 expression. So put that in your pocket for a moment. But what they did find also in that same experiment, they took not the whole spike protein, but only a very small piece of it, the binding component of the spike protein, and they found that they treated laboratory animals with that, and then the animals were infected with the SARS virus. It actually made the lung infection and lung failure worse. So they knew at that time that if the spike protein, or at least was floating around in these laboratory animals, that it would make an infection by a SARS virus worse. So we knew that even more than 15 years ago, that there was a potential danger of these spike proteins floating around the body. And, you know, and this gets to if you go fast forward in the COVID-19 infection, you have a situation where you have a disruption of what is called the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system, which regulates microcirculatory environment. Now, this is one thing. There are blood clots. There are effects on the immune system. But if you're affecting the microcirculatory environment, this dysregulation, because you're interrupting one component of that, you can affect the heart, you can affect the brain, you can affect the kidneys. So, you know, the human body is like a balance of positive and negative effects, yin yang, if you will. And if you disrupt one component, you can cause unknown cascading effects over time.
And so the vaccines are still being, I mean, this information is out there. By the way, folks, it's dailyclout.io, D-A-I-L-Y, daily, C-L-O-U-T, clout, dailyclout.io. And it says, please start here. And there's a big green arrow there. So just punch it and start reading. And yet these vaccines are still being pushed. And this information is becoming more and more known among members, even of the public. And yet we're still clinging to the take the vaccine line, the protocol that they want for everybody. How do you reconcile that? How many adverse effects do we need before they figure out, don't take it? That was an actual question, Colonel.
Oh, well, I would encourage your listeners to do that. Go to the Daily Clout, look at the information, and you can see there that there are thousands and thousands of these adverse effects. So as you say, you know, when do we stop giving something that is clearly potentially dangerous?
I appreciate your contribution to the enlightenment of the world. You know, the Mayan calendar ended supposedly 12/21/2012. 2012. I wonder what's going to happen by 12/21/2022. Maybe that's when the real awakening happens. Hopefully it's not the end of everybody's calendar. Because if these mugs get their way, folks, that's what will happen. Colonel Sellen, thank you very much. Godspeed you on your mission, sir. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, John.
Quick break, and then we'll come back with Mary Fanning and Alan Jones on Ark Midnight. Welcome back, everybody. We now enter our final segment. I'll tell you what, this program goes by really, really quickly. It really does. And it's good to, during the commercials, I'll take a look and see what people are talking about in the chat. And we've got a bunch of engaged people. They're aware. And, of course, there were a couple of comments about President Trump. But look, President Trump's problem was that he was an outsider. He had his own money. You couldn't get to him like you were able to get to Bill Clinton with a skirt, shall we say. These people they didn't have money before they got into office. In Clinton's case, first he was governor, and then all that business with him and George H.W. Bush and all of that stuff. So Donald Trump had his own money. You weren't going to get to him with women or money. I said that many times. Those are the two preferred methods of blackmail and coercion. Wouldn't work on him. And we see now that this entire Russian collusion that the left was just going mad for. The Russians, he's colluding, like the sniveling little weenies that they are. They're horrible little people. Little people. Not even fully actualized human beings, as far as I'm concerned. But maybe that's just me being all ugly and everything. Well, how do you feel now, morons? Turned out that your boss lady, Hillary Clinton's the one who was behind the whole thing. And Trump's suing her. And I hope he wins. Who knows if he will or not. Now, listen, I'm not kidding you. I want you to see Dr. John Coleman's presentation. It's on YouTube, and I ripped it. In case they take it off YouTube, I'll put it back, okay? But I want to see a whole bunch more thousands of views on this, because I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to answer so many of your questions, you will not believe it. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking now, but I do want you to see that thing. Dr. John Coleman, you'll be doing yourself a huge, huge favor. You will not be able to stop talking about it for about a month. Okay, and you'll be able to pull some of your friends and family members into it too. We now welcome back to the program the dynamic duo, extraordinarily good at what they do, Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, collaborators on all kinds of stuff that the establishment does not want you to find out about, but you're finding out about it anyway because of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, theamericanreport.org and 1776channel.com respectively. Welcome back, Mary and Alan. Great to talk to you again.
John, it's always so nice to be with you. Thank you.
Alan, how you doing?
Nice to join you tonight. Thank you.
Where shall we go? How about Peter Navarro? Can you believe the way that he was treated? Leg irons and handcuffs for everybody to see because he decided to thumb his nose, as he should have, at that stupid January 6th committee subpoena. Mary, take it away. Ladies first, always, right?
Well, what they just did to Peter Navarro is beneath contempt. We've never seen anything like this. It's Stalinist. We have never, ever seen anything like this in the United States of America. And this is politicizing the rule of law. So, you know, you're watching people who have taken over the country through a stolen election. And the evidence that's come forward with this new release of the CISA document and the proof, keep in mind that the fact that they, the judge is making sure that people could not see Alex Haldeman, Professor Alex Haldeman's report. Yet right away, the mainstream media, the Mockingbird media, the media that Barack Obama had the Smith-Mundt Act, the modernization, where they made it legal to lie to the American people, where from 1948 until 2012, that was illegal in this country. So against the backdrop of everything that's happening, you have to understand the legalized lying of the Mockingbird media that Barack Hussein Obama put in place.
Comment, Alan? Amplification?
Well, this is just more evidence of the disinformation campaign being exposed sooner or later. They tried to impeach President Trump, alleging that he had connections to the Kremlin. We had to endure this entire affair with Robert Mueller's special counsel, the Schiff impeachment operation. At the end, Mueller didn't come up with anything, but it took a while to get there. Now, concerning the elections, you had Chris Krebs of CISA claiming that it was a conspiracy theory to claim that the elections weren't secure. It was a conspiracy theory to talk about the hammer. Now we're starting to see CISA's narrative fall apart, and they're playing catch-up and scrambling, trying to suppress the Haldeman report while toting out this CISA report, you know, that they had a front-running from the Washington Post, as always. And it's sort of the same thing, just it's about elections now instead of about Russia collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people might know what's taken place is understanding the judge in this case with the Russia collusion, that his wife was representing Lisa Page, the lover of Peter Strzok, that was central to putting together the Russia collusion. And also Robbie Mook testified under oath that Hillary Clinton was the one directing this whole false narrative against Donald Trump. But people should pay attention, because the Russia, that's probably appropriate, the Washington Post.
Right.
The Washington Post has now come out with Michael Sussman saying he wasn't lying, even though the email showed that he was. Even though we now found that they had an FBI operation inside Perkins Coie, the law firm that he worked at. And so now they've gone right back to a disinformation campaign, and God bless them. The Washington Post complied and got right back to their dirty business of putting out these false narratives. How do they do that when Robbie Mook came and under oath told a completely different story? So what's so important right now is this new CISA document and revealing that these vulnerabilities that were in ImageCast X, that these were never exploited. Well, in fact, other information has come out. Much of the country has seen the Mules, Dinesh's, D'Souza's movie, but much of the country has not, because they were not letting it be run, and they weren't covering it on Fox News or any place else. So the American people have to go to the alternate, you know, truthful media, who is bringing forth subject matter experts to bring this data to them. So just like with General McInerney and Dr. McCullough and Colonel Sellen and General Vallely, these are brave patriots, but men who are steeped in years of service to this country and who believe that their oath is to the U.S. Constitution, that is, they are attempting to dismantle before taking away gun rights. You might have noticed Representative Boasberg saying, "Thank you, Democrats, as you came and tried to steal our gun rights and overturn the U.S. Constitution, more guns were purchased than ever have been before."
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to understand what just happened with CISA. Under this auspices of they're bringing in out information and saying that these vulnerabilities were not exploited, but au contraire, it's been proven that they have been. And further, we're seeing what took place with all sorts of information coming out. But beyond that, before this came out, we had already shown that CISA Director Chris Krebs, along with Matt Travis, Matt Masterson, Kevin Opre, and James Clapper, that they had been part of what took place. We put out a video, and of course, YouTube took it down. You're not allowed to see it, folks. But we do have an article at theamericanrecord.org that explains this in detail. And that they had gone in and were managing the audit. And so that's an important piece of information to understand. Also, and this was in Arizona. But beyond that, this, not being able to see this factual, detailed video that went through every bit of that audit and told how these people had inserted themselves into it. Then we started having, the Minister of Truth. This sounds like a James Bond movie, doesn't it? The Minister of Truth, Janky Nina Jankowicz, who was working out of Ukraine and covering up what was taking place there with Hillary Clinton. She came out and said that Chris Krebs, my goodness, he was fired by President Trump for saying, for his tweets. And the tweets, she said, were concerning some conspiracy theorists, only they weren't conspiracies. And now you're seeing the CISA information coming forward, and it's revealing quite a bit. And so, bit by bit, this has been granular. We've been turning over every grain of sand in the desert to bring the information to the American people of exactly how this election was stolen. And in our Absolute series of movies, we showed with Absolute Interference that they stole in Cobb County the 7,900 tabulator tapes that were missing. The fact that the memory cards were written over that magic number of times. The fact that Jeanine Eveler then had to call Dominion to get the vote count. The fact that there were people that were part of Stacey Abrams' Happy Face crew that were carrying backpacks of votes and coming from 40, 50 miles away, where a longtime military man videotaped that and said that his vote was stolen. So we're seeing all this come to the fore, and the American people are seeing bit by bit. And I think they understood the impossibility about it all, that Joe Biden had, this many more million votes than Barack Obama, a man that didn't come out of his basement. But as a result, the stolen vote is foundational to what we're looking at. Are we going to go to World War III? Because the American people won't stand up and say that this is what took place. Are we cutting off our oil and using our oil reserve as we're being threatened with World War III? As Dr. Lee Mignon brought forward, the Chinese, the tape that was released of them telling their war plans to have work with Russia on a two-front war to destroy America, to take Taiwan. Are we going to go into that long, dark night because the American people do not want to stand up to the stolen vote? Are we going to believe that when the vote was stolen, only Joe Biden won, but downstream, other Republicans that were riding the coattails of Donald Trump, and that the American people did not generally, we're talking about you, Lindsey Graham, did not want to vote for, that they, in fact, still ended up in office? You know, they were riding Donald Trump's coattails. So how are we to believe that a man that is an embarrassment on the world stage, this is what a global leader looks like? No, this is what someone who's taking orders from above looks like. And keep in mind that Barack Obama said he would like his third term where he's just a puppet master telling someone what to say and what to do. But as that happens, this country is being divided. The mainstream media is complicit in these lies, and our country is being stole right before us. We're told that we no longer own freedoms that came to us. They were given by God under the U.S. Constitution, and we are being told that we no longer have freedom in this country. In fact, you're a domestic terrorist if you don't go along with the false narrative.
And they want your guns.
And
that's the last step. Taking the guns, that's the last step before we see uniforms. But as far as these uniforms are concerned, this may seem a little brash. I do not take license in the presence of my audience nor my guests tonight. But uniforms and flags can be very useful. You know who the enemy is. You know where they are, and it'll give you something handy to drape over their coffins if they decide to take this country away from us. Folks, you need to get on your war faces. We are at war. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm too far down the road in years and every other way to just go popping off about stuff that has no basis in truth whatsoever. What you're hearing tonight from Mary Fanning, Alan Jones, General Vallely, Colonel Sellen, General McInerney, Dr. McCullough, you're listening to years and years and years of experience. And you notice that, yes, some of them are military men, but in the case of Colonel Sellen, he's a doctor of human physiology as well as a colonel. You're getting decades and decades and decades of experience, and the analysis based on that experience, I like to say, just brought up to you like room service. So here's something else. They think you're very, very stupid people. They think you are the useless eaters. They're not talking about the starving people in what was called Biafra back in the day. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about you, Mr. and Mrs. America, Ms., Mr. and Mr., Miss and Miss, whatever. They think you're idiots. And the reason they think you're idiots is because you put up with this, because you're just too scared that next time it might be me in handcuffs and leg irons being led away. We're all going to be in handcuffs and leg irons and stuck in some FEMA camp somewhere if these people get their way. You go through this book, The Committee of 300, and look at all the past and present members of the Committee of 300, and you're going to see a lot of institutions there that you'll recognize the names of instantly. They think you're stupid. The question is, are you? Go ahead, Mary.
No. And I could not agree more. The Committee of 300, Dr. John Coleman's book, really a lot of Americans need to, you know, if you don't want to read the book and there's two different versions, then watch the video. You need to see that information. I'll just say, John, that an important piece of information is that once CISA came out with this and they, you know, Nina Jankowicz tried to pull this whole garbage about poor Chris Krebs, who was fired. He was fired for a reason. And subsequently, CIA contractor turned whistleblower Montgomery then weighed in again. And he said that the Hammer surveillance system has exploits that he had not told us about before. Scorecard, Medusa, Dragnet, Thor's Hammer, Hannah, Killshot, Courier, Hanging Chad, Spirit, among others. And he says that these programs are real computer programs designed to run on the Hammer, and that anyone telling you different is lying. And how does he know? Because he built the programs for the U.S. government under the sole supplier contracts with the CIA, the DOD, Homeland Security, the Air Force, the DIA, the DNI, and others. Now, this information is information he provided to the FBI, you know, the FBI that had offices in Perkins Coie. And he received immunity agreements for providing this information, the data. And not only did this get dropped in CIA Vault 7, whistleblower tapes showed people were speaking. Unbeknownst to them, they were being recorded, and Federal Judge D. Murray Snow, his courtroom dropped those tapes. And then Judge Richard Leone spoke to that information and said he took that evidence and he put it with the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. Charles Erwin McCullough. So those who say this is all made up should understand that there's all sorts of documentation. And I suggest that you'd be very careful lying to the American people if their country's being stolen.
Alan, you want to chime in?
Yeah, so I just wanted to go back to an article we published on November 13th, 2020 at the American Report. It was called Cyber Director Chris Krebs and Deputy Director Matt Travis Tied to Clapper, Who Commandeered Hammer Scorecard. So we wrote, there may be a reason why CISA Director Chris Krebs is denying the existence of Hammer and Scorecard. Krebs worked closely with intelligence contractor Kevin P. O'Prey at Obsidian Analysis. O'Prey hired and worked closely with U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General James Clapper at DFI International. Clapper received a $50,000 exit bonus from DFI and then awarded O'Prey's DFI branch a contract with Clapper's Pentagon office that oversaw the Hammer and Scorecard. Clapper illegally commandeered the surveillance system, the Hammer. Clapper had previously been caught lying to the Senate Intelligence Committee about unlawful U.S. government surveillance of Americans. So remember, Chris Krebs, this is the one who Nina from the, you know, Ministry of Truth was right, sort of singing his praises. And it was sort of a mutual admiration they have for each other. But they're both Department of Homeland Security disinformation operatives. This is, you know, Nina Jankowicz and Chris Krebs. They have a lot in common. And among those things is to try to make sure the American people do not know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nina Jankowicz. And what a singer she is, second only to Yoko Ono. Unbelievable.
Well, important is to understand that Britain's Lord Malik Brown of the SGO group and Smartmatic, who is now George Soros' Open Society Foundation, he was called out with Smartmatic, and he had been working with Aquino. Now, Smartmatic, they are calling for it to be banned because it is not a secure system. Mm-hmm. And so this goes to Lord Malik Brown, who is working with George Soros. And the Philippine newspapers, interestingly, are covering this live, you know, rather widely, but not the U.S. papers, that these systems are not secure.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read the details of this at theamericanreport.org.
Need to go there, folks, and take a look.
Malik Brown admitted, yes, part of our technology is licensed from Dominion. He's talking about Smartmatic.
Well, isn't that just perfect? God bless you both for what you're doing, for having the courage to do it. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? If you're not going to do it now, when are you going to do it? All of us commend you highly for what you're doing, and all of our guests tonight. Thank you very much, Mary, for all your help. Mary, as you may know, is the producer of our intelligence briefing. The executive producer of our intelligence briefing, I might add, and she's doing a great job. Alan, keep punching. Talk to you next week, okay? Take care. I'll leave you with one thing, folks. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And one more. The truth of the world is a heavy burden. The truth of the Lord is not. God bless you, everyone, and good night.